What's up, y'all?
Welcome to the Money Noticias podcast.
It's your fave Latina siblings, Israel and Sinemphalide, coming at you with the real deal on how to get your money right and secure the bag as Latinas and teachers of color.
As an award-winning educator and personal finance expert, we are on a mission to bring anti-racist, culturally responsive financial literacy to Latinas and teachers of color.
So if you're ready to get your money right, we're so glad you're here.
Money Noticias is sponsored by the Dream Teacher Project.
The Dream Teacher Project is on a mission to empower teachers and women of color to get their money right and build generational wealth.
Welcome back to the Money Noticias podcast. We are your hosts, Israel and Sunem Tobar.
What's up, y'all? In today's solo episode, we are going to be unpacking the different components of debt.
Yes, so a lot of us have debt, but we don't even really know or understand it sometimes. So we wanted to break the different components of debt in an easy and very digestible way.
But before we dive into today's topic, we wanted to do a quick little catch up as we tend to do in our solo episodes. So Sunem, what's going on with you? Do you want me to start? Because I can break the ice. You know, sometimes, you know, it's a little... challenging.
No, I'll start. So I am feeling kind of tired. I think I said that last time too, but this time I'm feeling extra tired.
Girl, capitalism is getting to you, girl. Capitalism is getting to you.
It really is. For anyone who's new to this podcast, I normally work remotely, but this past 3 days I've been going into the office, just covering for someone, and going into the office is really tiring. Like, when I get there, I'm fine. Like, I feel like I have energy. But then coming back home, I feel like my energy is depleted with me driving all the way home. And so I come home, like, feeling really tired. And I feel really tired right now, too. But I know it's just, you know, it's temporary. Tomorrow's my last day. And then on Thursday, I'm going to be traveling to Minnesota. And I'm really excited to visit there because I've never gone. And I'm going there for an event. So I'm excited about that.
Yeah, I actually, so for my day job, I also provide financial literacy programming, but I do that primarily in person. And so I gave a training session to a group of students at a local private university here. And it's like really far in the west side of town. And I gave it from 3 to 4:15. And then I drove back to the south side of town, which is where I live. And driving back during traffic hour to the south side, it's like, oh my gosh. Like, I was like, because also, like, with my job, it's hybrid. So even when we were in a different part of town, like, I would always leave earlier so I can avoid traffic. So I hadn't gotten stuck in traffic in the afternoon, and I was like so freaking drained. I was like, how do people do this? And I think it's, I'm like, it's just so normalized that people, it's just normalized the sensations of feeling stressed, of feeling, you know, rushed, of feeling exhausted, that it's just normal, right? And I remember feeling those way too in the past. And I was actually thinking, I was talking to a friend about this. I was like, I don't enjoy being busy anymore like the way I used to, because now I can clearly see the signs in my body that I feel busy, that I clearly feel that I'm not living in the present. Like, I feel like my neck hurts. Like, before I, even though I was, my body was experiencing it, like, psychologically and physically and emotionally and mentally, like, I was just, it was so normal, whereas now it's like not normal anymore, right? And it's just kind of reminded me of the privilege that I have, but also something that I've been grappling with recently. It's just like, it is definitely a lot of privilege that we get to work remotely, hands down, right? But also a lot of folks who are in my social circle and professional network, it's like super normal for them, right? And it's like this tension of like, yes, practice gratitude, because gratitude is really helpful for your mental well-being, your, you know, quality of life, etc. But also, as people of color, people who come from marginalized communities with histories of exploitation, like, we should also be like, okay, we're grateful, but we deserve this and more, period. You know, it's like, okay, I'm grateful that I get to work hybrid, but I also, like, I know a lot of wealthy white people who this is the reality for them, that they get to get work remotely and just have really comfortable lifestyle. So I also deserve that. So, like, kind of like channeling your inner white man is like, I also deserve this. Like, I deserve comfort. I deserve rest. I deserve, you know, all these things. And only because I come from these communities doesn't mean that I should conform while still being grateful. Right. It's a weird dynamic there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. And what you were talking about, how like you feel the stress, I feel it too. Like, I feel it in my, like, I have a little headache, but it's only in the front of my head. And I hadn't felt this way in a while. And yeah, you're right. Like, we just get used to it, because I remember when I used to have to go into the office every day 2 years ago, I would always feel that way, but it was just so normal that I didn't really pay attention to it. But now that I don't do that, and I only do it once in a while, like, I can definitely feel the difference. And I'm like, I don't even know how I did it. And I don't think I could ever go back to it.
Yeah. And if you're listening to this and you're like, well, I can never, you know, change my situation. First of all, I'm glad that you're listening to this podcast, because money can literally help you, give you more options and flexibility. And that's why we're so, like, strong advocates in helping you get your money right, because you may feel like it's not possible because of limited professional, social, you know, access or opportunities. But we do live under capitalism, and money can give you access to more flexibility, not more options. And so please, if you're like, I want that, please work towards it. We're supporting you, we're rooting you, and we want you to be able to do that.
Yeah, exactly. And that's why we're so passionate about it, because we know, if you listen to our podcast, to all, basically all our episodes, we always talk about how money is just a tool for you to use to live your best life. And some of the ways that we were able to use it is to change our jobs. Like, I used to go to an office, and I was able to negotiate to go remotely because I did take control of my money. I paid off my debt. I built net worth that is high enough, and I have an emergency fund. So I built all this thing so that I can have the life that I have now.
Yes. And, you know, we do also focus on women of color in particular, right? And, you know, some women of color tend to be moms, right? And we want moms to be able to have access to more options, more flexibility. There's so many nuances that we can unpack here about how money, and we've talked about them in various episodes, how money can help women in particular, women of color in particular, give them more like peace and joy and options. And so that's why we are excited to dive into today's episode, because like we said, like, a lot of us have debt, and debt tends to be one of those financial factors that rob us of these these additional options and flexibility, right? That can trap us, right, in our current work situations. And so we really want you to understand your debt, right? And we're going to hyperlink the episodes in which we talk about how you can tackle your debt, right? But we want you to understand your debt, because when you understand your debt, when you are educated, you're able to be more empowered to take more informed actions, right? And so you're like, oh, okay, now I understand my debt. Now I can make a more realistic plan to tackle my debt. I can, you know, tackle it in ways that are more productive.
Okay, so in this episode, we really wanted to get into, what is debt? Like, what are the components of debt? And if you're like us, like, your parents never taught you this. Like, I remember when I was getting my student loans, like, nobody really taught me any of this. Like, I had no idea what was an interest rate. I had no idea about anything. And so if you are new, you've never like thought about this, maybe you're thinking about getting a loan, then this is a great episode for you. Okay. So first, we want to talk about interest rates. What are interest rates? So interest rate is basically money that you pay for borrowing something. And we also talk a little bit about interest rates when you're investing, because interest rates can work in your favor, but when you get debt, they do work against you. Okay, so if you get a loan, you would most likely see like an APR, which is the interest rate that you have to pay throughout the year. So an example of this, Let's say you have a credit card that has an APR, and remember, an APR is just interest, of 24%. So that's the interest rate in a year. But how this works is, like, if you have a credit card, like, they're not just charging you 24% every month. They're actually charging you an interest rate of 2%, because remember, 24% divided by 12 months is 2%.
So let's say that you owe $1,040 in your credit card balance, right? And you only pay the minimum of $40 this month, right? So now that you pay those $40, you owe $1,000 in your credit card, okay? Because your APR is 24%, okay, and there's 12 months in a year, like Sunem said, your monthly interest rate is 2%. So your monthly rate is 2% of those $1,000. So next month, you'll owe $1,020, since 2% of $1,000 is $20. Okay, so I'm gonna say that one more time so it can sink in. Your credit card APR is 24%. 24% divided by 12 is 2%, right? So each month you're paying 2%. Okay, you owe $1,040 in your credit card balance, but you only pay $40, which is the minimum balance. So you owe $1,000 in your credit card after making that minimum payment. Because your monthly interest rate is 2%, 2% of $1,000 is $20. So the next month you'll owe $1,020.
And so you can see that if you have, like, credit card debt, usually, like, the average APR is 25%. And that's a lot. And that's why we always tell people, it's like, if you have credit card debt, it's good to have a plan to pay it off, because it is going to be charging you a lot in interest and you're going to be paying more. Okay. We also wanted to point out that some people might confuse APR, which is, you know, interest, with APY. And so APY is basically the money that you get that the bank pays you when you have your money in, like, a savings account.
And not every credit card, not every loan, not anything that you take out for as in debt has the same interest rate, right? So please, please do your research before you decide to take out a credit card, before you decide to take out a loan, right? Because all of the APRs are different, okay? And something that I want to highlight and that I always highlight is that remember that debt is money borrowed because you borrow it. It's not your money, okay? You have to pay it back with interest. A lot of folks tend to be like, oh, I got this credit card from in the mailbox and it has a little ribbon and it's saying congratulations. Oh my gosh, I feel like it's my money. But no, honey, it's not your money. It's money that you're borrowing. And people engage with debt and credit cards specifically as if it was coming from their checking account, and it's not. Okay?
Mm-hmm. Even if it does feel like you can take that card and swipe it everywhere you are, you can't, because you're going to have to pay it back.
Okay. And so I really, really want to emphasize that point, because people tend to have this notion, and it's partly because some financial institutions play with our psychology, right? And that's just, you know, a product of capitalism. Yes. You know, in this podcast, you know, fuck capitalism. We always talk about capitalism, but it's just, it's all connected back to this economic model that we operate under, right? Okay. If you're like, okay, I get it. I get APR more now, right? Another thing that we want to unpack is this idea of a term, right? And some loans have listed a specific term, which is a time frame in which you have to pay back your loan, okay? So with a credit card, you do not have to, it does not have a term. Because different forms of debt can have a fixed date of a term, or it can be revolving, okay? A fixed date means that you have to pay it back in 6 months, in a year, 5 years, whatever. But you have to pay it back by that specific time period that it's listed in the terms and conditions. Revolving is like a credit card where you don't have to pay back at a specific month or time period, right? But you do have to pay it monthly, okay? You don't have to pay all of it. Everything that you owe, although we do recommend that you pay all of it if you can, but it's revolving. That means that you don't have a fixed term, a fixed date. Okay.
So if you have student loans with the government, then they would be revolving because the government doesn't really require you to pay them in a specific date. They just require you to make a monthly payment every month.
Mm-hmm. But like a mortgage, for example, if you get a 30-year mortgage, it's fixed date, right? The term is 30 years. You have to pay it back in 30 years, right? Okay. So another thing that we also want to unpack are loan fees. Okay, because some loans are saying, oh, you know, our APR is really low, you know, come get our loan. But, ojo, be careful, because the APR may be low, but these fees finna get you. It finna take your money. All right? And the fees vary from loan to loan and lender to lender. So please make sure you understand not only the APR, don't look at only the APR, but also look at the fees. Okay, before signing any paperwork. Some people are like, you know what? You know, a bitch is educated. A bitch needs to know that I need to look at the APR. But it's not only the APR, but it's also the fees.
Mm-hmm. Because that's how they get you. They like charge you double and you don't really notice mm-hmm. that you're actually paying double mm-hmm. what they gave you.
Or, you know, you can be like, you know what? I'm going to get this one, but at least I know what the fees are. And that's a great step ahead to be in, you know? All right, so here's some of the common fees. They're not all of them, but here's some of the common fees that we want you to be aware of, okay? There's something known as a customary fee. And this is money that it can be a fixed amount or a percentage, right? That you have to pay the lender for them giving you that service or loan. Okay, it can be, again, fixed amount, $50, or it can be like a percentage, 5% of what you borrowed. You have to pay the lender because they gave you that service or loan. All right. Service fee. That's money, okay, that you pay for the lender's work, okay, because it takes a lot of work, right, to collect your money. It takes a lot of work to collect and keep records of your payments from a client, from you, right? So that's another fee you have to pay because they're, you know, busting their asses to collect and keep records of your payment, okay? Closing costs, and this is more specifically towards the mortgages, is money that you pay for closing the deal on a home. Why you pay it? Bitch, I don't know. But you pay it, right? You pay closing costs. Like, what? Okay, I guess. Do you have to pay for that shit? Like,
if this podcast resonates with you and you've been wanting to feel more confident with your money, then I invite you to apply to our 90 Days Get Your Money Right private coaching. Private coaching is for you if you've been wanting to improve your money mindset, organize your finances with ease, begin investing, and start building the life of your dreams. For more information on our private coaching, check out the episode show notes. If you are enjoying our podcast, please, please leave us a review. It really helps our podcast get found by other amazing listeners like you. Plus, we love reading all your reviews. They really warm our hearts. Thank you. Yeah, and nobody tells you that. Like, I remember learned about this. I thought it was just like, oh, you're just paying your mortgage. There's nothing else in between. And yeah, I don't think you were aware of that either, right?
When
you bought your house.
No, I wasn't aware, but I did have a little bit of generational knowledge, generational wealth, if you will. And like, some of y'all have bought houses, so they're like, negotiate them, the sellers, covering the closing costs. So I did that. Because, bitch, I only have $1,000 in my bank account, which you let me borrow. Okay, don't forget, if y'all are interested in the home ownership journey, you know, thought process, you know, little hot takes and tips, we're going to hyperlink that in the show notes as well. All right, another fee that can be charged is a monthly maintenance fee. And this is literally money that you pay every month just for maintaining the loan, just because you got the loan, right? Y'all, like, literally, there's loans that can charge you all of these fees. And you're like, oh, but these fees want to grab. Okay, your APR is 12.25, but when you calculate all this, it's dead ass 150% that you're paying in interest and fees, mm-hmm. right? Yeah. So go ahead and do your little research, please, and thank you. all right? Because these financial institutions are ghetto. All right, the other thing too that you can do is research if some loans have something called as a grace period. And a grace period can either be a set amount of time, a payment can be delayed without penalty, right? You don't have to pay for 6 months. You don't have to do a payment. It's not going to accrue interest. It's not going to impact your credit score, right? That's known as grace period. Or it can be a set amount of time that no fees or interest will be collected. Like I said, it depends on the specific agreement details of that grace period that they're trying to offer you. Okay.
Mm-hmm. And then there's also something I just remembered. It's called like a payoff fee. Sometimes loans don't allow you to pay off your loan like early. You have to pay it off on the terms. Mm-hmm. And so if you want to pay it off early, you have to pay a fee. Mm-hmm. And so that's something also to look into, because you're like, well, I'm going to get this loan, but I just need it for 4 months. But then your loan terms are for a whole year. And you're like, oh, I want to pay it off and save on all this interest. They're like, no, you can't. You have to pay us a fee. Or they might even say like, no, you can't. Like, you have to do all those payments. So that's also something to be aware of. Make sure you read your contracts, because it's there.
Mm-hmm. And you ask these questions, right? You ask these questions, but you'll be like, I need to see this in writing. And the other thing that I want to highlight is that a lot of us don't know this, right? Like we mentioned in the beginning, and a lot of us like, oh, a loan is just a loan, right? The loan down the street, the same down the loan down the other street. No, honey, it's not. Okay, you really have to do your research. And the other thing too is that we're not unpacking this common parts of a loan to scare you, because like we mentioned in one episode, like debt sometimes is necessary if you don't come from generational wealth, like getting a student loan, you know, getting a mortgage, a business loan for you to be able to build those assets, right? So we don't want you to be scared of debt. We want you to understand it. We want you to be informed so you can ask these questions, so you can read the terms and fees, so you can shop around, get the best deal, right? But we also want to not dismiss the nuance, not even the nuance, it's pretty explicit that some financial institutions are predatory, and they're especially predatory towards people who don't have access to capital. So aka communities of color, immigrants, right? And so that's what we're trying to highlight here, that yeah, you know, financial institutions can be predatory, but you're educated now, you listen to this episode, so leverage it in your favor, right? You make informed decisions.
Mm-hmm, exactly. And also, like, when it comes to you getting a loan, you can also negotiate like the interest rates. It doesn't have to be like the first interest rate they give you. And I say this from experience, from like getting a car loan. Like, I didn't know that you can negotiate. And then I soon learned that you can. And I remember when I went with Israel, when he got his car loan, like, I already knew that. So I told him, like, you have to negotiate your interest, because they're going to try to give you a high interest because they think you don't know anything. But when you're like, actually, this is my credit score, I can make this down payment, like, I better get a better interest rate. And so that's something I just wanted to point out, like, everything is negotiable.
Yeah, don't play with my motherfucking money. Don't play with my motherfucking money. Okay, y'all. All right. So something I'm a huge advocate is to advocate for yourself, right? I'm a huge advocate for you to advocate for yourself, okay? Like, all right. And I think it's particularly challenging for immigrants, if you come from an immigrant community, because we're socialized to believe, like, you're a second-class citizen. Just put your head down. Be grateful that you're in this country. Be grateful that you're making American dollars. You know, you don't even know English, so just... And even though we may know English, that was kind of passed down to us from our parents who didn't know English, right? And then, you know, there's being first gen, right? And being surrounded by people whose parents went to college, and you feel all types of way that, you know, imposter syndrome when you're in a classroom seminar. And so you kind of like don't feel like you can advocate for yourself because you feel like you don't belong there. You're a woman and all these, you know, smelly ass men, because men smell, y'all. Okay, I'm a man myself, and I have to take care of myself because men smell. Okay, it's the toxic masculinity reeking off their bodies. Okay, you're while the smelly ass man, you're the only woman, and you know, obviously, the patriarchy wants to keep you silent, and so that's why it's super important that we push ourselves to advocate for ourselves, and advocating for ourselves in these financial contexts means you picking up the phone and being like, excuse me. I literally, I'm gonna share a little financial win that I shared with you earlier sometime. Like, I got this ghetto ass bill from, I have my annual checkup. I'm like, okay, my insurance is gonna cover this, right? That's why I'm paying almost $500 every month for this at least to be covered. Tell me why I get a little bill that says $45. Granted, it's not that much money. Well, at least for me, it's not that much money, right? But I said $45, that's like, you know, a whole happy hour on a Friday. Not even that, right? It's a whole meal and a happy hour at a good restaurant, mind you, right? And so I was like, I'm not paying this. I'm not paying this. And I called them. They were not responding. And so they finally called me back today. And I was like, excuse me. I told them everything. They're like, oh, let me check. Oh, yeah, you actually, it was, I don't know why they charge you. Let me just take it out. Literally, if I hadn't called, I would have paid those $45. And next Friday, you wouldn't catch me eating, you know, good tacos and some margaritas, okay? Like, but $45 for me means that. $45 for someone else can mean, like, paying off debt, can be feeding their family, can mean so many things. So call, advocate for yourself, please and thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, advocating for yourself, especially when you're getting a loan, because even a little bit of money saved is so much. And even, like, having a tiny bit, like, half a percentage from your interest rate is going to save you so much money. So if you're getting a car loan, make sure you advocate, because I know car loans are, they try to give you the highest interest rate. And then once you start fighting them, they bring out the financial person. And when they bring out that financial person, you know you did your homework.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And the other thing too that we want to highlight is that we want to use debt strategically, right? But we also want to make sure that we are managing our finances so we don't get into debt if it's not strategically, right? And so that means that I would recommend, I feel like both of us recommend you to have a sinking fund instead of getting a personal loan to cover for your quinceañera, you know, or for your little vacation to Miami, right? That I did not get invited to, but anyway. Right. So have a sinking fund instead of getting a personal loan or using your credit card for that. Right. Because that's not, you're not using the credit card for debt strategically. Also, an emergency fund is super important. Right. Because it's also going to prevent you from getting a loan, getting into debt without using it strategically. So don't be afraid of debt. Be educated, be informed, and use it strategically, especially if you don't come from generational wealth.
Mm-hmm. And if you want to learn about what an emergency fund is, how many months you should save for an emergency fund, we did do an episode about that. So we're going to leave the link to that episode in the episode show notes.
All right, y'all. So we were like offline. We're like, yeah, it's going to be a short little, you know, cute little 10, 15 minute episode. Here we are 30 minutes in with our hot takes. You know, it's always happening.
It just goes to show how passionate we are about this money topics and making sure nobody scams you.
You know, some of us are more passionate than others, clearly. You're not just you mean some bitches are louder than others. That's what you're trying to say.
Yep, exactly.
Oh my gosh. God bless America and its 50 states. All right, everyone. So we hope you learn a little something, that you go ahead and advocate for yourself. You do your research. You're educated now, and nobody can steal your education anymore. And if you need to re-listen to this episode, please do so. Please share this episode with a friend or family, because you know a lot of us be in debt. So it's so normalized in our communities. We need to, you know, break those generational habits and mindsets and environments. And please share this to your friend, loved one, whoever you think would benefit. And then also, if you're like, oh, I have hella debt and I really just need some Taylor support. I know I've resonated with your content, but I just need that support because a bitch needs accountability, period. We do offer a cute little, it's like very well strategically designed tailored coaching that we can help support you in that, provide you with that accountability, anti-racist, culturally responsive financial literacy coaching. So the link, if you're interested, is in our show notes. All right. So that is all for today. Thank you so much for spending time with us today. And remember to live, teach, and secure the bag.
If you took anything from this episode, please take a screenshot and tag us on Instagram at Dream Teacher Project.